This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the personal ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.theparish.org.
The following sermon was preached on Sunday, November 27, 2016, the first Sunday of Advent, by Father William Doc Holliday.
Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Before last, I did a little commercial for Advent. I pointed out the fallacious concept that Advent is a time of joyful anticipation. It is a time of anticipation, but let us put ourselves in the context of anticipating the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Even when he was coming as Savior, the anticipation was without our Lord. Nothing joyful about the absence of Jesus Christ. For us, we do anticipate the coming of the Messiah. He has already come as Savior. We know who he is. We also know that he is going to come again as Judge. That's what we anticipate. And we, because we live in this sin-cursed and fallen world, have to anticipate that with a lot of preparation. We hear several times throughout the liturgical year, gospel readings when our Lord tells us to be watchful. You know, sometimes very explicitly and succinctly, watch. Then he goes into some like this gospel presentation where he tells us to be watchful and gives us a little anecdote. This watchfulness is not a passive watching. This is not a watching of, here, just let me look at the horizon and wait for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is an active watching. It is preparatory for his coming as Judge. We need to fix some things. And it's not static. It's ongoing. And as our Catholic life unfolds, we should ever be more and more prepared to meet our Lord Jesus Christ as Judge. That is what the Scriptures teach. That is what our Lord taught us. That is what the Church has always taught us. That's why we have the season of Advent, a time of anticipation, an active, watchful anticipation for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ as our Judge. Through those readings today, the first one from Isaiah, the Old Testament, it shall come to pass in the latter days. And then he goes into the coming reign of our Lord Jesus Christ. And unfortunately, the way the lectionary is edited now, the last verse that we heard read is, O house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. Sounds very positive. That could be construed as joyful anticipation. If you know your Scriptures, you know that that verse, however, that, O house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord, is an admonition to them because they have not been doing it. It ends so positively if you take it out of context, but when you put it in context, it's like, people of God, the reign of Christ is coming. It is coming, and you need to be ready for it, and you are not. Where do you get that? Well, in the verses that come after, let us walk in the light of the Lord. Talks about us humbling ourselves. Culminates in hide in the dust before the terror of the Lord and from the glory of his majesty. That's what we need to be prepared for. That's the coming of our Lord as Judge. Prepare. Be watchful, actively watchful. We learn that from the Gospels, that this is not a passive watching. Our Lord tells us, therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. it was just a matter of being passively watchful, Jesus would not have put in that little story about the man who is a householder. He says, if he had known what time the thief would come, he would not have allowed his house to be broken into. If you're just watching for the thief, oh, there he is. Here he comes. No, our Lord takes it to another level. You are to prevent him from coming in. Now, we're not to prevent our Lord from coming as judge. We're to prevent ourselves from being caught flat-footed when he comes as judge and not being ready to be judged. Active watching. I mean, even in worldly life, you know, if somebody's got a job that's really important and necessitates watching, they're just not looking at something. For those of you who are in the military, if you watched a war movie, you know, when they put sentries up on the outside, you guys need to be watchful. They're just not gawking out, yep, here's the enemy. Wow, look at all of them. They're supposed to do something. You know, I'm a late vocation. I was a cop for 28 years. I was on a SWAT team for 21 years. One of the things you do, depending on what your position is, when you get to a place where they need the SWAT team, is the first thing they do is put a bunch of SWAT guys around the house. And they watch for the bad guy to make sure he doesn't come out. If it was just a matter of passive watching, how long do you think he'd last on the SWAT team? Yep, there he comes. Look at that. Man, he's fast. You do something about it. You're watchful, yes, but you do something about it. That's what our Lord wants us to be. That's how he wants us to be watchful. We need to do something about ourselves when preparing ourselves for him coming in judgment. And he tells us how to do that also. He says in Romans 13, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Cast off the works of darkness. Those words, that is our Catholic life. Those two statements are our Catholic life. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Put off the works of darkness. You know, I know that they are words unto salvation. I mean, in the purest sense of the word. St. Augustine. If you've never read a spiritual book before or anything like it, the Confessions of St. Augustine are really cool because it gives us a perspective of a saint who we hear about him all the time in the church, and he's just so awesome. He was St. Augustine. He wasn't always St. Augustine. St. Augustine was a reprobate. St. Augustine was a heathen. St. Augustine was a debaucherous womanizer. He had an illegitimate son. And then he knew how wrecked his life was, and he's looking for something different. And he was hip deep in Manichaeanism, which was a heretical, blasphemous religious school. He was all up in that, but he had been reading the scriptures. He knew his life was trashed. He knew something, there had to be something more. And he's praying quite frequently. You probably heard this one from family members or friends to whom you try to witness or try to correct them. St. Augustine's asking himself the question, is he struggling with the way he's living his life? And he knows there's something better out there. He keeps asking himself the question, how long? How long is it going to be like this? How long am I going to have to wait until things change? I keep asking myself, how long? Tomorrow? Tomorrow? It's always tomorrow. Always putting things off till tomorrow. The Holy Spirit speaks to St. Augustine, whether it was audible or in his heart, moved to do so. He hears these words. Tole lege, take up and read. Now, he'd been reading the scriptures. And he picks up the scriptures and he looks at them. And in the Confessions it says, and I began to read that portion upon which my eyes fell. And it was this portion of scripture. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Cast off the works of darkness. That did it for him. The grace is there for you, Augustine. You have to move. You have to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. You have to put off the works of darkness. Then these things will change. These words were the salvation of the soul of St. Augustine, because he took them literally. He did change his life. It says we are expected to do also. We are to put on Jesus Christ. That sounds so churchy and so abstract, but it is actually an illustration that is quite objective and practical. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Put on his virtues, his sentiments, his merits. Act like it. Act like him. That's putting him on. When you truly act, not talk about doing it, not go to Mass and listen about it, but to actually do it, then you have put on the Lord Jesus Christ. But I said, it's not an abstraction. It's not subjective. We see it in our sacramental life. This whole putting on our Lord Jesus Christ starts at our baptism. In our baptism, there's going to be one next week, little commercial. When we do baptisms, I mean, it's a beautiful ritual, but I always tell, pay attention to what's being said, to the prayers, to the duties of the parents and the godparents. Pay attention to that, because in our baptism, it is an objective manifestation of us putting on our Lord Jesus Christ. There's actually one part of it that is really, that's the baptismal gown. Baptismal gown, so beautiful, looks so cute on the little one, you know, this little tiny gown, usually engulfs them. That's putting on our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it symbolizes. But it's interesting to understand, just from real life. Okay, just step back for a second. You know, our Catholic life, as I said before, is a progress. You know, it can be positive progress. It can be negative progress. We live in a sin-cursed and fallen world. We fall flat on our faces a lot. Sometimes we fall flat on our faces and stay flat on our faces for years or decades. Okay? We need to constantly be growing. This whole deal with the baptismal gown looks so beautiful, and it is so beautiful at that moment of baptism. That baby's going to change, as we all do. That baptismal gown that engulfs the little infant, when it's 2 or 3 years old, it won't even fit it. As he's an adult, he would burst through it. I mean, it would be impossible for him to put that. It shows the progressive nature of clothing ourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. Just as an infant looks very beautiful in that baptismal gown, we can look very beautiful after baptism. But then things happen. We grow. Even in our positive growth as Catholics, we should reach points where we go, man, I used to think that was okay. And it's not. I got to fix that. It's this constant growing and constant putting on our Lord Jesus Christ. Putting on Jesus Christ and casting off the works of darkness. I'm not going to, you know, different time, different day, we can talk about the moralisms of what's the darkness that we put off. But suffice it to say, the way some of the translations put it, they do sound abstract and churchy. Let us then cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Yeah, that sounds real nice. I like the Jerusalem Bible's more practical translation. Let us give up all things we prefer to do under cover of darkness. Things you prefer to do when no one else knows. I mean, night is bad enough. A lot of bad things in the sin world happen at night, a whole lot more than happen during the day. Nighttime is a cover for us. That's why. But I mean, that also covers things that I prefer to do by myself. Things that I look at or watch that I would never think of watching if someone else was standing there, particularly one of my church friends, or if my mom was standing behind me watching me cast my eyes on this. I always tell people, well, if you wouldn't do it in front of your mom, think of your blessed mother standing behind you, as she always is, watching you do what you do. We need to cast off those things that we prefer to do when we're by ourselves, when no one else is watching, when we think no one else is watching. Really kind of weird thing to think about that whole thing is the only people that are there watching you are the people who are actually, you know, offended by it. The Blessed Virgin Mother and our Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit that is dwelling within your soul, that's looking out of your eyes and watching what you do. Put off those things that we prefer to do under cover of darkness. So I said, our sacramental life is the positives of this thing. That putting on our Lord Jesus Christ starts at our baptism, is manifest every time we come into Mass, if we receive the Eucharist. When we see the Eucharist, that's not so much putting on Christ, but bringing Christ within ourselves. Body, blood, soul, and divinity. That's why it's so important. But the sacrament that really manifests putting on the Lord Jesus Christ par excellence is the confessional. The confessional is where we put on the Lord Jesus Christ. So I said before, the baptismal gown gets too small for us. It gets tattered. It gets soiled. So we always need a new one. You get the new one when you go to the confessional. Our Lord Jesus Christ, I always point out, is not waiting at the confessional with a closed fist to punch you in the mouth because you're a sinner. He's there with his arms open, waiting to embrace you. It's a much better embrace than we even receive from our family or from our friends. Because when they hug us and they let us go. Well, that's proper. Jesus doesn't do that. You walk into the confessional and he embraces you and he stays like that. You have put on Christ, not a garment. You put on Christ. And the only way he will let you go is if you pull him off or shake him off by your sin. And he will let you go. You want to do what you want? There, I'll let you go. The confessional is where we put on our Lord Jesus Christ. That's why the church mandates that we go to confession at least once every calendar year. That's spiritual bread and water, as I always point out. But if you're good with once a year, Advent or Lent is a really good time to do it. Penitential seasons. But it has to be within the calendar year. I always throw this one out. Lent, Advent. Generally speaking, it is our own determination as to whether or not we are properly spiritually disposed to receive the Eucharist. Generally up to us. That's what you know. You can't be here for more than a month or so. And you know the way you should be to come up and receive the Eucharist. That's up to you. This one's outside of yourself. If you have not gone to sacramental confession within the past calendar year, you ought not be receiving communion because you are not properly disposed. I think I am. I don't care what you think. The church doesn't care what you think. Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit don't care what you think. You are not properly disposed spiritually to receive the Blessed Sacrament if you have not been to confession in the past calendar year. That's on you. The confession is where we put on Jesus Christ. That's why that rule is there in the church. We need to put on our Lord Jesus Christ, and we do it first and foremost in the confessional. It's a sacrament of joy. It is a sacrament of an embrace. And as I said, not an embrace where he embraces you. Hey, thanks for coming. You're absolved. See you later. He stays with you. And he stays with you until you shake him or pull him off. It's a constant renewal. That's the watching. That's the act of watching. And that is also the putting on our Lord Jesus Christ. Put him on as often as you possibly can. Put him on and leave him on. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.